This is 307 Net Info, connecting community. This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by some students from Buffalo High School, but also our athletic director, Mr. Ryan Mader. Hello, Mr. Mader, nice to meet you. And also Superintendent Charles Oskey. Hello, Charles.
Good morning again.
Nice to see everybody, and thank you. We're going to spend some time today diving into the world of school athletics, and there are lots of questions to ask, and so thank you very much, Super, and Athletic Director, for joining us. There are lots of questions that these students have. So, Sienna, I'm going to hand over to you. We're going to start off by talking about coaching and the issues of coaching, because I think that's an area that maybe not everybody is completely familiar with, of how the school approaches coaching and recruits coaches, etc. So would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, so what qualities do you look for when you're recruiting coaches for high school programs, specifically sports?
Yeah, so when we're looking at that, I mean, there's the basics. We're looking for the experience within the program. We're looking for the knowledge and the skill set for the sport that they're coaching. But more importantly, in an education-based setting, we're looking for a coach that's going to fit into Buffalo High School, that's going to support our values, our culture, and help grow our students. As you guys know, 85% of our students participate in a Wyoming High School sanctioned activity, not just athletic, but an activity. And so that's the majority of our kids, and our coaches share those from program to program. So I think it's important that they're focused on growing the whole student athlete. You guys have heard my pregame announcements to the crowd. I believe in that. There's a reason that education-based athletics are important to me and what we do at Buffalo High School.
So then what would you say your shared values are that you would like to have with a coach?
Yeah, so I think when you look at that, it's what do you get out of education-based athletics? We all know that very few go on to the collegiate level. Scholarship-wise, it's less than 5%. In some activities, it's down to 1%. And then as you go from level to level, it's even less. And so what is the goal of education-based athletics? Well, it's developing that student-athlete to learn from adversity, to learn leadership skills, to know how to advocate for themselves. Sportsmanship is a big piece of that, learning respect, responsibility, timeliness. I mean, the list goes on in those values, but it's about what kind of person are they going to be after they walk out of this building and the experiences they've had to help grow them as individuals.
So I need to ask you, is it hard to find a coach? Is it hard to recruit coaches? Everybody seems to be more and more stressed these days, more and more time pressed.
So there's one word that I would like to just kind of focus on and change the word from. When we talk about recruiting, the first thing that comes to mind is we're like a Division I, where we have certain salaries, we can offer more, we can do some different things. So really it's about the hiring process with the pool of people that are interested in coaching. And it comes back to when Ryan is going through the interview process, is bringing those qualities to the table with the number of applicants. So I think there is a misperception out there about recruiting, because I've heard it several times. Well, you can offer this coach more than this coach, or you can go nationally and bring in, you know, somebody for $30,000 or $40,000 to be a head of a program. So the reality is, when we start looking at it, what Ryan talks about is establishing programs within our, because we're a high school and we're funded different. So that recruiting is, how do we get the information out there that these coaches are, these positions are available, and then the qualities that Ryan is talking about actually is the things that they ask in the interview process. So, you know, getting it out into the community, putting it on advertising it, and looking in different places. But as far as public schools and high schools, you know, getting on an airplane and traveling across the nation to recruit somebody to come in is that, so just defining that recruiting at a high school level is different than a college level when we say recruiting or opportunities. So there's an equity thing that comes into play. Where do you advertise? How do you get it out? Here are the positions that are in. But Ryan's hands are tied with our salary schedule on how much do we offer a coach, or where does a coach come in a line? Because that is a common question. It says, well, you could get better coaches if you increase, you know, pay them more. Well, it's across the board. There's only a certain amount of funding that comes to public education. We all know activities are an essential part of that activity, but some of that comes back to what are the limitations that Ryan has as an athletic director to actually, I guess it would say, entice people to apply. But that recruiting piece, that I think there is a discrepancy that hopefully maybe we can answer some of those. Recruiting versus what is the process of hiring, it's two completely different things in high school compared to college or even the professional level.
So going off of that, how are like the coaches that are chosen reimbursed for their time and expertise that they put into the program?
Yeah, not a lot.
Yep. as the hours, it's by the penny.
Yeah, as Mr. Oski said, there's a stipend that goes with each coaching position. As you guys know, each coach has their season. That's where the stipend goes to. So our coaches do a lot of things on their own time, on their own dime, away from their families, away from their career, if they're not in education, in those 9 months that are not within the season. So fundraising opportunities are out there. Each program has opportunities to fundraise to support their program and those needs, whether it be summer travel, helping with extra equipment, supplies, meals, those sort of things. So, yeah.
I know that you mentioned that obviously like the money is kind of tight within that, but I know that we brought in Don Julian. What was the purpose and what has come out of that if money was so tight with that situation?
Maybe you could describe as part of that what that initiative was.
So I'll answer that because that initiative was on my part. So bringing in Don Julian was building that culture. It's that PD. A lot of people don't think of that aspect of it. Coaches and athletic directors, just like everybody else, it's part of that PD and developing that cultural piece.
Professional development?
Professional development, absolutely. So sorry with that. So that is a great question. But the amount of money to bring Don in is not going to impact the salaries across the board with what we're doing. So when you take and we're just going to talk numbers here. So with the activities in Johnson County School District, we're well over $750,000 just in salaries and benefits. So when we have Don Julian come in and he's doing training for us for $4,000 to $6,000 a year with all the training, that's professional development. That's how you create that culture for when people come in and say, what are you doing to support your coaches? What are you doing to help them grow? I think that's the same thing we do with teachers and everybody else. So Don Julian isn't about when money is tight. It's about intentional focus on my part as a superintendent to make sure our coaches are feeling supported and there's PD behind that piece. So we do the same thing with teachers. We do the same thing with board members. Is there's a certain level of professional development because, and I'll speak for those of you that don't know, I mean, 16 years on a yellow Cadillac around the state of Wyoming in football, wrestling, at all different levels. Your coaching season, what you're paid for, is 3 to 3.5 months. That other 9 months that Ryan talks about is all donated time. So some of the things we try to do to support coaches is provide that PD piece of how can we become better. That time away from your families and going to camps or putting on camps here, it's kind of about that growing piece that Don Julian does with professional development. So it's kind of that very, very slim, tiny amount of the budget that we try to, or I try to do, to support Ryan and the coaches to show that they're valued by bringing somebody in here and paying for them to help grow rather than having them pay out of their pocket to go do some type of professional development.
So, Charles, many people may know Don Julian as a legendary coach. He sort of switched gears a little bit, and can you describe the program that he was
Don Julian, he is a legendary coach. I mean, let's be across the board, but he's not only a coach, he's an athletic director. He served in all roles, but in that process, his career didn't start out winning state championships. If you know the journey of Don, what he's bringing to the table is how do you build that culture and that community, not only on a football program, but among the athletic programs. So what he brings in is talking about your purpose. What are your goals? We've done that as a district in general. But the reality is Don is doing more than just Johnson County School District. He's actually doing training with other school districts around the state.
And businesses.
Businesses, yeah.
And I would just like to thank you, like, from us as, like, athletes. We had, like, this senior meeting at the end of our junior year and a thing this summer that I think was very beneficial for us as a senior class. It, like you said, it really established culture. I think it got, like, it on all of ours, like, as a senior class, like, it got, like, we were kind of bound to one goal, like working towards BHS and its culture, not just like individual sports. And I think that's super, super crucial. And I think like support across the board has been a lot higher this year. I think sports are supporting other sports when they haven't been in the past. And I just think that was like a pretty big stepping stone that will like continue through like underclassmen and stuff. So just like we appreciate that. And those trainings were not only beneficial for the coaches, but beneficial for the athletes too.
Yeah, those trainings will continue, and it's been fun to see you guys on that journey with Dawn and our coaches. And as we talk about growth, that's a big piece, and we're excited about that. So thanks for that comment.
And can I just add, these are great questions. They're good, and I appreciate your comment too, because sometimes you don't hear that when you make decisions to make changes or bring that type of professional development, so thanks.
Yeah, you mentioned how Don Julian was such a legendary coach and won so many games. How would you define winning, and how important is that? And then how would you measure the success of a coach just beyond, like, how many wins they have versus how many losses they have?
Yeah, so let's talk about the success piece first. That's a great question. Success to me is growth. Where do you start? Where do you finish? As you said, winning has a different definition in many different places. I think each team is different, each group of kids is different, each program is different, and you have to be able to meet them where they're at and come to that collective as a leadership group, coaching staff, your captains, your seniors, and your team to define what does winning look like for us this season based on where we are, where do we think we can get, and what do we need to do to get there. So I think it's a big focus on the process, not on the results. The process is the meat and potatoes of what you do and where you're going to get most out of everything. So each one's going to look different. When we talk about the growth piece, what we look at a big piece is how did we grow? Not also just in skill, but as individuals. And I think as Gio talked about that culture piece, I mean, look at the growth that he just talked about there. Mm-hmm. That's winning.
So I'm just gonna add on it. You'll never hear Don Julian say winning is about winning a state championship. Winning is about teaching individuals life skills and winning in life. Strong believer in that. It's not about the state championships you win at the end of the year. Did you teach kids, and what did kids take from that values to be taken to their life and be productive? Because there's a lot of things that can be taught with athletics, but. Just to be very clear, even though Don Julian is probably a legend just with the number of state championships he has behind him, he's about growing individuals. Their ultimate goal isn't winning state championships, otherwise he is very competitive. But if you take care of the details, the scoreboard takes care of itself. So the details are what are we doing to grow kids and those purpose statements and that cultural piece that kind of becomes contagious. And then the numbers kind of rack up with the end scoreboard. But it's not about state championships. It's about programs that are doing what they can and what the best for kids.
I know that personally, as a coach, and Kate, as you talked about, going from an athlete, these guys' age, mm-hmm. up through where we're at now, I think it's the relationships. When coaches talk about the winning and the success and they think back, you rack up a lot of years, you see a lot of faces, you go through a lot of things. It's the relationships that mean the most. And as coach, and I could be a little cheesy here, but I think it's very true in our profession, and Mr. Oski can probably say the same thing, is having those relationships with kids down the line 5 years, 10 years, 15 years after, and still being called coach or being able to sit and discuss things is one of the most important pieces in what we do. And for me as a former student athlete, I still call my coaches coach because of the respect I had for them, the things that they did for me and the relationship I built with them. And I hold them in very high regard in my life and in how they helped me to develop into a man. And so I think those are some special things when we talk about what winning is.
And in fact, that segues very nicely into our next topic, which is really about the expectation of students as athletes. And I suppose to sort of set a framework for that conversation, what is the purpose, what is the hope for students as they engage in various different athletic endeavors. Some may come more naturally than others. Some they may find more fun than others. But what as educators and providers of the of those different opportunities, you know, what is the purpose that you want students to benefit from?
Yeah. You know, first and foremost, we want kids to be engaged and active in something, whether it's an athletic, it's an activity, or a club. Buffalo High School has been very proud. I threw out that number, 85%, and in fact, I had a former colleague, athletic director at another school, contacted me this morning asking me, hey, how many kids participate in at least one thing at Buffalo High School? We're pulling some data here at our school, and it was a very quick 85%. With kind of a smile, because I'm proud of that. I think that's a
big
part.
Is that a typical number across the state? No.
No, not at all.
No, well above the average.
There it does feel in Johnson County there's a very strong sense of student sports.
Yeah.
You know, being very much part of our community culture.
And there's a reason behind that. And I've thrown this data out there before, and I will stand behind it every year that we go through. But the more involved our kids are in activities, you can look at the GPA trend. The higher their GPA goes, their absences or attendance is better. And ACT scores are even correlated with that, too. And that's just some data that I've pulled in the years that I've been doing this. And so it's a direct correlation of the positive benefits of being involved with some sort of club activity or athletic team.
So one of the things about engaging in student athletics in Wyoming is that you spend a lot of time on the bus, and these guys have all been student athletes, and you do know that there's a long time on the bus. You play for maybe an hour or an hour and a half, maybe two, but you're spending many, many hours traveling to and then waiting, and especially some events are much more like that than others. You know, that's a dynamic that you have to deal with. It's a unique one in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. You had a question.
Oh, I was just going to touch on with like the 85%. Of students being like involved, how do they like maintain a balance between academics and like the sports and clubs that they're in?
Mm-hmm. And that's a big piece of what we're working on culture-wise is, you know, one team, one community is the theme this year. And that is, as I said earlier, there's, you know, a potential. I look at some of you around the room that are three-sport student-athletes, but you're also heavily involved in activities, whether it be student council, FBLA, band, choir, those sort of things. Is that balance will translate to real world. That doesn't change. You don't get any less busier the older you get, right? Your responsibilities change, but they're still there. And I think as our coaches, the encouragement and building that culture to work with our teachers within the building, knowing that academics do come first, and how do we support our students who are involved in making sure they're taking care of those academics. Obviously, we have eligibility standards, which we hold you to, and you guys do a great job with, but there's always instances where, hey, I'm gone a lot, or, you know, practice is just getting hard when I can get in and visit this. So that collaboration between teacher and coach, and also between teacher and or coach and sponsor, when a GO, for example, is going from cross-country practice to theater practice to marching band practice, and trying to get all those things in that are important to you, and how do we make sure we're supporting you in that?
Okay, so kind of building off of that busyness, how do you maintain students' mental and physical health while they're involved in all of these things at the same time, and also trying to obviously do well in school, which is like the main goal and mm-hmm. stuff as well?
Yeah, that's part of our role, knowing our students, knowing what they're involved in and how it's taking a toll. You know, I think a lot of us do a very good job of being able to read kids and knowing where they're at, both mentally and physically, and what they need. I think our teachers do a great job of that. I'll use Mr. Camino as an example. A lot of you guys are down in his world, and he supports you with everything in his class on what do you need today? What can I do for you? And that's a great mindset to have, but one that a lot of our coaches and our teachers have to support you guys. And so knowing that as you go through this, what are going to be the heavy weeks and where can we back off, where can we provide support, where can we provide recovery, whether it's mental or physical.
So students, what's your own experience of that? I mean, I look around the table here and I see a number of very busy, active students. You know, I see you at many, many different things. What is your own experience of balancing all of that, plus being gone maybe effectively from schoolwork most of a Friday, most of a Saturday. What is your own experience?
I think, like, the best example I have recently is Miss Wages. It's like, she was gone for something, and then cross country was gone. Everyone was gone, so she pushed back some of our assignments, making sure that we weren't overly stressed and, like, making sure we do those assignments the best we can. So that is the first example that comes to my mind of, like, the teachers making sure that we are on top of our work and that we're the best that we can be at our school.
Mm-hmm. That speaks, Mr. Mader, to the example that you, I mean, that's a tangible example to what you were just describing, I think, isn't it? What about you, Claire?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, with swimming, we practice twice a day, and we're gone all of Friday, all of Saturday every week, so it's really, really busy, and I think I got really lucky with the coach that we have for that sport because he's super understanding and super, like, just wants to support us as athletes. And I think of, like, oh, maybe 2 weeks ago, there was, like, a band event on the same afternoon, obviously, as we had practice. And a bunch of kids were going to be gone for that. We had a bunch of injuries. People were sick. It was just, like, we were in the thick of the season. And he ended up canceling practice that afternoon. He's like, just go home, get some rest, sleep. I'll see you in the morning. Just because, like, he cares about us and he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to do well. And he knows that if we're healthy and, like, not injured, we're going to do better as a team than we would if we just keep pushing when it's exhausting and we're sick.
I will say, I think we have an amazing, like, staff of teachers that are all really, really understanding. And I will also say, though, that there's also, like, classes where we have to meet those state standards at a certain time, especially with college classes, which I think all of us have been involved in. And it's like you have to meet these certain assignments on these, like, certain days. And so I will say it can be challenging to make sure that you're staying on top of those classes and meeting all of those requirements. But I have to ask, how do you, like, how do you guys as staff also try to, like, encourage all of us to making sure that we're, like, staying on top of that stuff and working with students?
How do we encourage the students?
Yeah, just, like, in the sense of, like, when people are falling behind due to, like, being gone more, having extra stress, like, what protocol is there to, like, making sure that students are, like, staying on top of their stuff?
Yeah, so we have guidelines in place with the reports that our coaches and sponsors get so that they can see where you're at in the grade process and they can monitor those. And we also ask for communication to make sure that, you know, if there is a big event coming up, a marching band culminating event, for example, where some practices become very important, that we're asking those colleagues to communicate in the best interest of the kid, and I think they do a good job with that. As far as students, we're always going to preach that you're a student first, your activity comes second. And as we go through that, it's important that you take the steps as young individuals to ensure you're taking care of yourself and having that communication with those adults in that leadership position. And this is where I'm at, this is what's maybe coming up, and this is what I need. How can we work together on this?
So sometimes things aren't always smooth, and Sienna, I think you have a question about that.
Yeah, so then how are you able to, like, how do you handle the conflicts or issues that there are between student athletes and coaches?
Conversation. Yeah. We do ask the student athletes to advocate for themselves first in the chain of command, right? It is a tool, a skill set to develop as you get older, but to also engage in that conversation so that most of the time, one individual or the other doesn't know the whole side of the story, right? And so being able to sit down and have that conversation and put things on the table of, hey, this is where I'm at, this is what I need, this is how I'm feeling, this is maybe what I thought of this certain thing is important. And that conversation starts with the student to the coach first, and then as it continues up, if things need to go to the next level, I'm happy to get involved with that and serve as a moderator, ask some questions, provide input and support where I can.
So how do you and our coaches and our staff, how are you guys able to demonstrate to the students that it's okay for us to come and talk to you? Like, what are those attributes that are you wanting to display?
I guess I don't get your question.
So, like, for example, like, I will admit, like, it does get really hard to manage all of everything that goes on. So how do you guys, as, like, administrators and as teachers and as coaches, how are you able to, like, let your students know, like, you're there for them? And how are you able to display that so they're comfortable going to you?
Yeah, I think that starts in the relationship building process. I think that's where it starts. If a student feels comfortable having that conversation with the adult, it goes a lot easier. If the student doesn't have a good relationship, I think it's something that we need to work on to get you to that point.
Mm-hmm. So going back to Sienna's question about the issues between student athletes and coaches, mm-hmm. will you tell us more about the chain of command and how that works in the process?
Yeah. You can speak to this too if you'd like, but again, what we communicate is we do want the student to start that conversation. As we all know, you know, let's use a two-hour practice for example, right? You're the one there, the coach is the one there, nobody else is there, right? So that's where it starts as far as the process of this is where it begins. And the hope is that that conversation is resolved there, that things are put on the table, that results or resolutions are moving forward. When it doesn't get resolved to that point, that's where it comes to me as the activities director. After me is Mr. Ostheimer, the principal. Mr. Oski is the superintendent, and it goes on up the chain.
Yeah. So one of the things I tried to do this year, is actually clear up what that communication chain looks like. So there is an actual concern protocol that we put into place so everybody, it's consistent, because there are some inconsistencies around the district. But the number one focus comes back, it has to start with student athlete and the coach. And it starts there, and if it's not resolved, then it could be the student athlete and the freshman coach, the JV coach. And if it doesn't work out there, then it's a conversation with the head coach. But Ryan's work and the work of the other ADs is really trying to emphasize that chain of command. Because here's what will happen. You skip the chain of command, you go all the way to the top. The chain of command at the top is going to say, haven't you talked with the coach yet? And if you haven't talked with the coach yet, then the process starts all over again. Because what my intention is not to be is the middle person between that. So if they haven't had discussions at the lower level, and I'm going to say at the very, it's where the rubber meets the road, all right, those are the conversations. So it does start there. And there is, we're trying to do a better job as a district to really clearly outline what those procedures are and not just push anybody off. But there are some expectations that not only get established with the parents and the students, but with us as employees, that there's a process that needs to be involved. Everybody's voice needs to be heard. I mean, things that we do and we preach, we just kind of put it into a protocol so that everybody's on the same page. So we did, we have that document available for you guys to look at if you want to look at sometime.
So playing time can be an issue. I would imagine that's often an issue that is the one that there's some disagreement about. And different sports attract different numbers of students to them. We don't, as a school district, cut at the moment. The term cutting is something that comes up from time to time. What's your opinion? And is there actually a policy about that? Is there some kind of regulation or protocol? When you have a large number of student athletes out and only a certain smaller, much smaller number, proportion, can be on the field or on the court at any one time, how is that best managed?
Yeah, I'll use volleyball, for example. I think we're in the thick of it right now. We have a lot of student athletes that are out for volleyball. We're happy that they're participating. Earlier in this conversation, we talked about the benefits of that participation, and as a school, the importance we put on that and the reasons why. We don't have a cutting policy in Johnson County School District. And while a cutting policy at other places does cut that down and there's those specific numbers per team, if we want to focus on the participation, the benefits, it's what can we do within our limitations to make sure that we're creating opportunities for kids. In volleyball, there's six on the court at a time. There's almost 40 kids out for volleyball this season. And we've tried to create extra playing opportunities by grabbing some extra games, some extra matches. We've played fourth matches with our conference opponents on several occasions this season to create more opportunities for kids. We're doing that pretty creatively. As Mr. Oski talked about earlier on the budget limitations and restrictions, some of that becomes pretty hard. And so I think our coaches and our players and the schools that we're competing with and against have been very accommodating to making sure we're creating some of those opportunities.
Kind of on top of that, like you said, there's so many kids going out for so many different activities, but you've also talked a lot about having good relationships with, like, coaches and players. How do you, like, ensure and promote that every single person, like, varsity, JV, is being encouraged to have a good relationship with their coach?
Well, it's a two-way street, mm-hmm. right? You know, as coaches, that is part of our role, is building those relationships and providing a positive opportunity for our kids. On the student side, that they're being active and also doing the same thing, knowing what their role is, finding a value within the program, and having those constructive conversations, which are sometimes hard, but how do I grow and how do I contribute?
So students, how does what's being discussed here line up with your own personal experiences? You've all been in a multitude of different sports and so on. How do you feel that this actually is working in practice for you? You're seniors and you're about to graduate.
Well, I just had a question. Do other school districts do cutting?
Yeah.
So is it like a mass majority, you think, in the state, or just a lower majority?
Mostly at larger schools.
So I'll answer that question. It's the parameters, living within your means. That's what it comes down to. Ryan has done a good job because I've been the guy who says, hey, our budgets are tight. We're reducing with what that looks like. But what people don't realize is it's simple to say, hey, the neighbor has 14 games, right? But every game costs money. Right, additional coaches cost money. So in some cases, an additional coach would, you know, it's going to cost anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 with benefits, depending on their years of qualification. And then you have to. Nobody runs a game without a referee. And then facilities have to be opened and all those type of stuff. So just simply adding a game isn't, in Ryan's world, just simply he can call. He has the connections. He has the relationship. He can make it happen. But then he also has to stay at the end of the year and answer to the big question is, how did we balance our budget? So, you know, 40 kids and five kids that might be able to play. Every sport's a little different. Football's a completely different ball game because you can put 11 people on the field at any given time and get some playing time. But those are all hard conversations. But the reality is it isn't as simple as adding a game or adding, because the one thing we haven't heard about that I think is probably you're asking the coaches to be away from their families more. The more games you have, the more travel you have. Not only the kids away, but that becomes a lot more responsibility on the AD and the coaches too, the more events we add.
And there's transportation, of course, as well, which adds another factor.
Let's add that in there, because I'm telling you, transportation doesn't have the ability to just to travel. I mean, and we're where we were 10 years ago with bus drivers and where we are now is limited staff. So there's just a lot of details to adding to some of those events, opportunities.
Going off what you said about the referees, there is an increasing shortage of referees across all sports. What are the implications and what can be done about this?
Implications, pretty simple. We don't have contests, we don't have games.
How serious is that a problem?
Serious.
I mean, I noticed I'm a parent of an athlete. And I notice that when I go, many of the referees, they've been around for many years and they are getting older, and I don't see a lot of new faces coming up beneath them. Is that truly a problem?
Yeah, it is. That's a national trend, and the National Federation of High Schools, the NFHS, our national governing body, puts out a lot of literature and data on that, that our older officials are aging out through retirement. And the younger officials are just not coming in, and when they are, they're staying on average 1 of 2 years before they move on to something else.
That is a fairly significant part of keeping the whole...
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's over 50% of them leave after their second year of being staff.
And do we know why?
There's lots of different factors. there are lots of different factors, and I think it's different where you go. We've done some things to try to mitigate that in the state. Officials' pay has increased as a way to attract more and retain more officials. But a lot of the things that you will hear and read is it comes back to how those officials are treated at events. I'm going to use an example here in our own school district. I was a father at a middle school game for my son a couple years ago, running the chain gang, doing my part as a volunteer. Good seat, though. Best seat in the house. And in football, you're on the opposing sideline. And one of our first-year officials doing middle school football was taking quite a bit of heat from a couple of dads from another community. He looked it right at me and said, "Ryan, this isn't worth it." That official did not return the next year. He did his 1 year.
So I can give you another example. I had a high school student, so you start recruiting, what are you doing? We brought high school students in to do a junior high, low junior high game, and the parent wanted to beat the ref up after the game. Literally cornered him in the hallway, and that high school student never reffed a game again either. So, again, it's just sometimes their experiences, and it doesn't take long for that high school student to go back and tell all their friends what. It's not worth it. So it's kind of that. It's a tough gig, and time and effort to go into that, the expenses, it's a tough gig.
Personally, from, like, personal experience, I've reffed soccer for the past 6 years. And, like Mr. Mater said, they are trying to mitigate it by, like, bumping up. Like, they were willing to pay ridiculous amounts for you to stay. Just not even, like, in high school sports. Like, for, like, club sports. For, like, you to ref a weekend, you can make upwards of $2,000 or $3,000, like, depending on how many games you take in one weekend. And, but you, like, you hit that factor. It's, like, at what point is, like, taking, like, that heat that he talked about worth that much money? Like, the, like, where is, like, the emotional and the mental state that leaves you after a game? Because I've had many, like, really good experiences as a ref, and, like, those are kind of the few things that keep you around. But then you have that one or two games where, like, you have to clear a whole sideline. Or you, like I've had an experience, like Mr. Ossie said, where, like, a parent will come find you after the game to, like, confront you about a decision you made. And at, like, that point, like you're a kid. Like, when people ask me, like, is reffing fun? I'm like, sometimes, yeah. Like, on the occasion, it depends, like, where you are and who you're with as well. But, like, it's definitely not very appealing. And so I can see, like, when parents and or coaches or even sometimes players, like, make stupid decisions or, like, say things that are, like, harmful to, like, the referee, they don't come back. And then we're going to start, like, seeing where we can't have games because of referees.
Going off of that personal experience bit, too, have you seen it? I mean, you've been doing it for 6 years. You started when you were, what, 12, 11?
Yeah, 12.
Has it seemed to get worse over the years? Like, was it better when you started than
yeah,
it is now?
I would say it was better when I first started. But that's also because you start on lower games.
Sure.
At the, like, younger age levels, it isn't much. But you get to those high school games, and everyone thinks it's the World Cup. So, like, this, like, my one decision, like, apparently affects
yeah,
us for the rest
sorry,
of the year.
Laugh.
Yeah.
To that.
No, yeah. But, like, that's just club athletics. Then you get to the high school piece, you're doing it for your whole community. So theoretically, there's more on the line. So people are doing more outrageous stuff because it's more worth it to them.
So you've been athletes and coaches and your educators. Mr. Oski, Mr. Mader, does this ring true with you? Do you sense a different sort of tone and a different sort of level of parent or spectator involvement and just sort of pressure on athletes?
I think Gio's right. It's increasing. I do. I think it's evolved just like everything else has, and it's grown like everything.
I think the pressure to be a Division I full scholarship athlete is a lot greater now from parents and communities. It's about being fully scholarshiped in athletics, and so I think there's a lot more pressure on kids than when I went through school, all age myself. So in 1985, it was about playing and having fun and relationships, and I think there's still a lot of that. But the coaches I remember are the ones we had relationships with. But I can say, once you cross the line, you went to a coach, it's a whole different level of seeing how and what you do and how you impact that. And then when you go from a coach to an athletic director or go into administration, you just kind of enter some different portals, and you come back to realize that, you know, what we actually thought was happening behind the scenes you didn't realize how, everything that took place in order for me as a high school athlete to actually have the ability to participate. We just thought it was, oh, it just happens. Well, it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of things that take place in his world 12 months in advance. And so, you know, I think these type of conversations with, I wish we would have had these conversations when I was in high school, really asking what the other side looks like, what are our expectations. But I think the world of athletics in high school alone has changed.
I think, to real quick, to go off of that, I had a conversation with the first year AD just yesterday, and he had made the comment, and he has been a, I think he said a total of 28 years he's been coaching in both the club and in the high school level, multiple sports, the majority of that at the high school level. And he's been a head coach and a very successful head coach. And the comment he made to me was, I didn't know what this world was like and all the things that went on behind the scenes. I feel bad giving my AD previously that hard of a time over things that I'm dealing with now that I just didn't know. And so I think as we change from level to level,
let me ask you a question. You know, is there a prevailing thought in your mind, Mr. Maeder, where you just think, oh, I just wish everybody knew this? Is there anything that, you know, you wish that parents, athletes, coaches, or whatever understood?
I think the biggest thing is there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And the things that go on behind the scenes, whether it's the decisions that need to be made, the communication that needs to happen, those don't always get communicated because they don't necessarily need to get communicated. There's a lot in what we do in this role to make things happen. And when you're dealing with 30-plus coaches and the number of students that we'll deal with, the same as a coach who is dealing with 30 to 40 kids, trying to do what's best in the best interest of the group rather than the individual is sometimes where it goes.
Can I piggyback on that real quick? I think one of the things I want everybody to know is the systems that Johnson County has in place and the things we're trying to develop are truly, we're very blessed here with what Ryan's doing. But some of the things, not about, you know, don't need to know, but there are some things we just can't say when it comes to personnel, it comes to evaluations of programs, and where does that information go? So there's a lot of things that we deal with from an administrative level. You know, we're trying to open the door to communication so everybody has a voice. But when we talk about the evaluation of programs and coaches and stuff like that, that's not public knowledge. That's stuff that we can't bring to the table. But they are growth opportunities for everybody that's involved. Because that's that cultural piece we talk about right now, too, when we talk about how do we recruit and retain. Well, if coaches hear that they can come, they know there's an opportunity for growth and there's professional development and there's feedback and support, that's probably the biggest recruiting tool we can use, and not the financial piece by saying, hey, we're going to offer you $30,000 to come be a head coach in Johnson County, which will never happen. I'll make very clear. We're probably never going to be able to offer that kind of salary. But the reality is there is an opportunity, and Ryan does a good job. It is about growth because not everybody's perfect. I mentioned that at the very beginning. Don Julian is a legend, right? But go back and do the history. He was fired. I mean, there are things that he did. He come up through the system. But do you know why he's successful? Because he got into systems where they supported him and they grew him. And then he took that to his programs and he grows things. So it is about capturing people and then growing them over time.
So what specifically would you like to see from us students to help with that? So like, to help aid with you, because I will admit we don't really, I don't think a lot of students understand what goes on behind the scenes, but it is a big factor. And I think what could we do as like seniors and leaders now to help encourage other students to do the same, to help not only just our coaches, but our administrators?
Yeah, you guys are always going to know that, and some of you get tired of me saying this, but I'm a big control the controllables guy. You know, our as you laugh, it's a true story, right? There's a lot of things that we want to do that maybe we can do that we don't have control in making those decisions. I'll start at the state level and work backwards. As we work with 72 other schools in the state, which is not very many, State of Wyoming has the fewest, right? You know, it's a negotiation process. What works for us, maybe on paper, does not work for them. And then you work with officials and workers. And so when you start to put all those pieces together, you know, there's some things that you want to do that you just can't do because it's out of your control, and the ball might be in someone else's court. As far as what we can do together is support one another, ask questions.
Ask the questions and communicate your answers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So part of that is the evaluation process, and as a parent, I'm aware that, you know, from time to time I've been asked for my opinion on a particular season and so on. What happens with those?
So I want to piggyback on what Ryan's just said. So that is a great question, because the fact is you're coming in and saying, what can we do? The fact is, I appreciate that. That's huge. So when you and student athletes ask the question, so why is it this way? And then you do like what you said over here. He communicated, man, this was really good for us. When people hear the good things, that's where you guys come in as student bodies and student leaders, is by saying, no, that's not really what it is, all right? That's not what really happens. And I think the thing that gets us in trouble is we assume, because from the outside it looks like, oh, this is why they made that decision. When reality is, when we ask questions and Ryan can answer those questions, is you take that information and you help spread it as leadership and say, that's really not what it is. Or come back to the understanding there are certain things that Ryan can't tell you, all right, when it comes to why we're doing things, and be okay with that and say, you know, that comes back to that culture and trust. Well, we trust the AD, we trust what he's doing, because there's a process in place. As long as you understand the process and you trust it and you communicate it. And then coming back to your question is, yeah, every coach gets evaluated. That's part of what we're doing. We're trying to put it in a systematic system where everybody's done. But the evaluation isn't part of the parent. The evaluation is not based on parent feedback. The parent feedback is to help grow them. If there are things in place to help grow people, and you understand there's a filter that has to take place. And I'm just going to speak from this end. You got to filter everything out and say, look, there's always happy and there's always unhappy people when you look at that process. And you filter, what can we control? Ryan says that. And how do we grow the program? You need to understand, if there's somebody that is some program or individual that is absolutely bad for kids, that's going to be addressed. However, concerns about playing time or why we run a certain offense, I mean, that's a big one I've heard about. Well, if you ran a 4-4 over a 5-2 or do some different things, it's not about schemes, it's not about that. Somebody that's bad for kids, we address that, but we don't make it public. You can't go out in the public comments, you can't go out and say, hey, these are the things we're doing. But you got to remember, coaches are just as human as the rest of us. And any coach that will look any of you as a student athlete in the eye and say, I've never made a mistake, bring them to Mr. Oski, because I will show them. Everybody makes a mistake. But our job is to grow them when they do, as long as it's not something that endangered people. So the evaluation process is parent feedback, having their voice, or student feedback is important, but that's just the feedback that comes to how you grow a program. The evaluation tools and the questions we ask are a completely different story.
We know that, I know, parents can be very passionate about their particular student's athletic experience, and it can evoke very strong emotions. And as you point out, you know, some of us can have a tendency to maybe try and coach from the stands as well. What role do you think parents should play in their student's athletic experience? How did they fit in to that?
A support.
Support,
yeah.
And what would that be tangibly? Because as a parent, you may feel very aggrieved that your student is not getting enough time on the court or the field and so on, and you have very strong opinions about that. What does support mean in practical day-to-day terms?
So I'm going to speak from a... support means encouraging them and allowing them to follow the process and giving them that skill set, because it's beyond high school. So when you get into a situation, you're in life, you're in college, you're in all these things, how do you come to the table and bring your concerns to your supervisor, to your employees, be problem solvers? So in that piece, absolutely. And I'll speak as a parent, even as a coach and an AD and a principal, it is not easy not to get wrapped up in your kid and what they're doing. Going home and saying, hey, I love you, you did a great job, and keep from saying, but if you'd have done this, you would have done a better job, is that's not my role. That's the role of the coach, to help them get better. So it is hard. I'm not saying we're going to sit here and speak it easily, because the reality is our job as parents is to say, hey, you did the best you could, you know, having that conversation. But it's not easy. It's easy to sit here and say that, but Ryan is correct. Having that just support saying, hey, I know you failed. I mean, I hated that in wrestling. The first thing you come off and you know, coaches would say is, you know, you just got pinned. No, they already knew they got pinned. Okay? The conversation, you don't have to remind them of the bad thing that happened. You have to say, what did you learn? What did you do well? All of those are conversations that we have with our kids, not to say, well, you know, man, you got pinned. Those are conversations. As parents, we say, what did you do well? How can I support you? And if you have concerns with the program, then encourage them to be a part of the process and actually let them experience how to solve a problem in that environment.
So how can you, like, if we go the other way, how can you help kids who don't have that parent support? Like, how is you guys as teachers and coaches help those kids who don't get that?
Absolutely. You go find that, because we all connect with somebody, right? We're connected with some teacher or some adult in some place. They can become your advocate. So I will just speak if I've had multiple kids that would come to me that didn't have families and just say, hey, this is how I feel. You know, I become their advocate, coach them. So I would encourage kids, you know, find that one person you trust, because there are, let's be real, somewhere in the high school, it might not be your coach. It might be the bus driver, it might be the custodian, it might be the chef or the cooks. You know, I've had kids go all different aspects. Is find that adult that can be your advocate and have that explanation, and they can come to the table with you as that support piece. That's what I would encourage any kid that says that, well, we don't have that kind of support. Absolutely. But you do have somebody you connect with, and they can be your biggest advocate, okay?
I know that at BHS, we pride ourselves a lot in how we present ourselves, and that we've done a really good job, I feel like, as, you know, going to different communities and, like, having that bison pride. But can we, like, can you explain, like, kind of what are those expectations for, like, how we represent our school and our community when we're competing?
Yeah. The best compliments that we can get are from a opposing community coach, parent, whoever it is, and say, wow, your kids were very respectful. They were good sports. They were positive. I've had two. One was a parent. One was a coach at two of our volleyball games that have complimented our student section and said they do such a great job, and we appreciate all that they do and what you guys do here to build that. And then they tell me about the places that they don't like and the things that go on there. And so there's always going to be that comparison. And it's hard not to smile and be proud and just think of how cool this place is and what we do, because that reputation, that perception, it sticks with you, right? And so what do we preach? Well, positivity. Let's support one another. Let's support our people, and let's rally behind it when they need it. Sportsmanship is a big part of that, how we treat others, how we're treating officials, coaches, opposing teams. And I know that you guys may think that sometimes I'm a little too strict in the student section, but when I'm able to get compliments from others that come up and go out of their way to say, we really like how your kids acted today. They were very classy, very respectful. And another team or community felt comfortable in our gym or at our field. And then they're able to tell me about the bad experiences they've had in other communities. I sit there and go, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It does what we hear from restaurants and motels, too.
Yep.
Man, your kids are a class act. I mean, even as a superintendent, when you go to you go in and you check in, oh, you're from Johnson County. Man, your kids, when they came to the motel, they were respectful, polite, and the whole nine yards. Or I've even had somebody say, hey, the senior leadership of the team got this one kid kind of lined back out. Or, you know, simply when you guys go to a motel and you open a door for a community member that's coming in and you guys are holding the doors for people, you don't realize that impact of student-athletes. When you have BHS written right here on this and you're doing community service, I mean, those are the types of things. They tie it all back to what? They tie it back to BHS, or they tie it back to KC. In different things. So sometimes just your actions. People don't understand why we're doing the parade in Johnson County World's Fair. Do you know why we're in the parade? Because all those community members, that's the one event in Johnson County where everybody shows up and is on Main Street and they're looking. And when the kids were walking down the street the last time and giving high fives and giving out candy and that kind of stuff, just that older generation that is going, wow, we got some pretty cool kids coming up, instead of saying, oh, they listen to this music that the world's going to come to an end. They realize that you guys are really human, and when you smile and you just simply say hi to somebody in our community and you're representing, it's no different here than it is if you're over in Powell and Douglas. It's just how you act sometimes.
I was just going to talk about the game, the sportsmanship award for, like, each game. Do you think that helps boost, like, the players' sportsmanship, and they want to get that award? So do you think that overall helps the sportsmanship, like, in Johnson County?
I think it's another tool, right? I don't think you need a reward to feel good about how you act.
So, students, you've traveled to many different communities and played in many different sports against many different teams. What's your experience of other student sections and the way that other communities are handling themselves compared to us? Let's try not to be specific and call out a particular community, but what is your experience?
Yes, Jen. The swimmers are all always super respectful, yes. And
oh, yeah,
I love doing true. Swimming because... We hug each other after we swim against each other in races.
It does change from sport to sport.
Very different.
I was
going to
say, I agree with that. Yeah.
Being involved in, like, three different sports, I feel like it definitely goes across the board as different. Like, when you go to cross-country meet, everyone there is, like, your best friend. Everyone's cheering for everyone, and it's really nice. And then you get into basketball season, and there's some communities out there, some student sections that don't treat you very nice when you're on the court, and it really does make a difference in your playing when there's, like, people in student sections that are, like, specifically calling out names or, like, mocking, like, certain people on the court, and not, like, even just as a team as a whole. I feel like that puts an impact on how, like, you're playing, is the effect of, like, who's in the student section and, like, what they're doing.
To be targeted like that is a very direct attack, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In golf, I'd say it's pretty similar to swimming and cross country. You're walking with a kid, so you get to know him pretty well. And I feel like golf, you just make a lot of friends, and it's a lot different. It's not like a really competitive.
I think there's a big difference between team sports and individual
yeah.
sports.
Yeah.
You drag, and nothing. I mean, I've coached both, but the atmosphere, even in the sport of wrestling where it's individual, you get to know kids, you get to know those pieces. Now, when you're competing against that individual, it's obviously very serious. But afterwards, there's a lot of congratulations. So some of that is based on just the sport itself.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would say kind of on top of that, it also gets a lot different when with sports that have student sections and the ones that don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, obviously, a lot of people try to go out for football, but we obviously have more student sections in our indoor sports, I would say. But, I mean, like, for soccer, we don't have student sections and that kind of thing. So I would say that, like, with that aspect, it's obviously not bad, but then it gets bad on the field. And it's kind of like you have that competitiveness, but also, like, you know, you're talking to each other on the field, and it's not always nice. It's not always what you want to hear. And I would say that that's something that, like, should be promoted a lot more, because we obviously can control what's happening in the student section because you hear it, you know, you're right there with them. But then on the field, I feel like it's something we should promote, just, like, always having good sportsmanship. And I feel like that's something that other communities can struggle with. But.
Well, I know I do independent sports, so I don't really ever get that negative real talk, but I know with volleyball, sometimes it can get really hard for the volleyball girls because sometimes there's a lot of negative talk from other schools or other players. What would you recommend to our kids who are playing these sports that are facing these, like Addison said, like, sometimes they will single you out and make you feel really bad. What do you recommend for these kids to do? Because in that situation, your first instinct is to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you...
Yeah, and that becomes a mindset thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just thinking that as you were talking about, you know, you develop some anxiety and some nervousness when you're going into a place that you know might have some more hostility than others. You know what you're going to get. And so I think it's that being able to prepare as a team. How are you going to support one another? What are you going to focus on during that event? And how are you going to react when this starts to happen? How are you going to lift each other up? What can you focus on to help you maybe filter that stuff out? is very important, but also talking with your coach, because the coach is there as a support, the adults are there as a support, right? And being able to have those conversations. I know that, you know, student section should be fun. That is a great environment piece to any gymnasium, to any field, and they should be fun, but there's also a right way and a wrong way to go about those, and I think that's what we're talking about. And, you know, sportsmanship isn't always about just being, you know, well, I can't do this and I can't do this. There's some parameters there, but it's about you got to think, how do I make others feel? You know, that how do I feel when I go on the road? You know, what kind of treatment am I getting? And then holding ourselves accountable within that group of, hey, guys, not cool. You know, let's switch some things. Volleyball, it's funny you bring that up. Volleyball is a game of momentum, but you score points when someone else makes a mistake, mm-hmm. right? And so it's very easy to get caught up in the fun stuff of, you know, we're making these cheers when the other team's making mistakes, but what about when they aren't? What does our team need on the court to be lifted up and supported? And I'll tell you, at Buffalo High School, we have a very unique atmosphere that we can create between our student section, our pep band, and our cheerleaders, and our students that are on the bench. And people don't like coming playing here because of how loud our gym is and the noise that we can make. And if we're doing it in a positive, constructive manner, we're supporting one another, and we're not making other teams or communities, parents, kids, coaches feel like targets, man, it's a great place to be and a lot of fun.
So what about social media? Because I know that takes a big factor upon, like, you know, like different schools have a bar stool, different schools. Mm-hmm. What's your stance on that?
My advice would be stay off of it. Mm-hmm. again, controllables, right? What can we control within this brick and mortar versus what we can't?
Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings me back. Claire asked earlier, how do you, like, ensure people have good mental and physical health? And I think this is kind of the aspect of that mental health when other people are degrading you, whether it be, like, on the field, and on the court, from the sidelines, or on social media, like Sienna said. Is there anything that we can do as students, or, like, that we can do to promote a good environment within that, like, on social media, on the sidelines? Like, what do you suggest us as seniors and as students do?
Yeah, continue painting that positive picture and that positive support. Hold one another accountable, which is a hard thing to do. It's hard to stand up to a peer and say, hey, that's not cool. But you'll get respect from that. But again, asking, having those conversations. You talk mindset a lot, and mindset is a very popular subject today. I have a background in sports psychology. My master's degree was in that. I spent 2 years studying that because it was very interesting to me. And the one thing I learned is I can't just go on Instagram and read a quote about, you know, a mindset, and then it's going to work for me. It's a process like everything else, right? It's very much a process, and you have to be committed to that and understand it takes time. But again, being able to find the tools and resources and support to work through that is important. So I think it starts with, hey, coach, I'm really struggling, or I'm really anxious about this coming up. What can we do to kind of help mitigate that in starting that conversation? And a coach might be able to say, you know, that's not my wheelhouse, but I know somebody who can mm-hmm. help you with that, that sort of thing.
And you're a coach, so what would you do in that situation if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I'm struggling with this? What would you suggest that person do?
Depends on the situation. I would give them the resources that I could, the expertise and that I could as well. But again, focus on what we do. Focus on what you do every day for preparation. That's how you build confidence, and stick with that. And when you need someone to support you, whether it's words of encouragement, just a pat on the back, just a nod maybe, or, you know, coach, I'm going to give you a look when I'm feeling really anxious. I might just need a minute. You know, those are important things.
So, Mr. Oski, looking forward, I mean, we need to wrap up, I think, but looking forward, what do you see as the future of athletics? What future place does athletics have in Johnson County School District?
So, for Johnson County, it's part of our culture. I mean, the the things that we have, our challenges are in front of us, is living within our means. That's the only thing. But when the communities and the culture is created, kids are going to be successful, all right? And so we've got to keep that focus. It is a part of our culture. It's a part of our community and where we're at. And as long as I'm in this position, the training we're doing with Don Julian, or the work that Ryan does, or the work we're trying to do in KC with actually providing professional opportunities for coaches to grow, is going to keep that culture and strengthen it, because there's just a lot of things that need to happen in order for kids to have opportunities. But the reality is, athletic and extracurricular activities is not about a state championship. It's about what we teach kids. It's growing them to be better individuals, and I think that's what the intentional focus is, what we're trying to do. So
students, you're about to leave this moment of high school and move into a whole new chapter of your lives. What do you think you're going to take with you from your high school athletic experiences?
Well, I personally didn't really come to me that communication is so big until I came to high school. Like, communication is so huge. Like, I don't think if I were not to learn about how important communication will be in every different circumstance of my life, I don't think I could have had that success.
And do you learn that through athletics?
Yeah, athletics, like different organizations, school, clubs, like even balancing athletics and school, like being able to communicate my needs to both my coach and my teachers.
And I think on top of that, like not only the communications with like, just say like authority figures, but also with the communication of like the players around you, whether that be your team or an opposing team, I think athletics has taught me just like being able to promote a positive environment is really important. And if you can do that, then it's going to have like the ripple effect around you.
I would say the two biggest things that I will take away from high school athletics is, like, I don't know, not like being able to take care of yourself, like stand up for yourself, if that makes sense. Like, not like self-preservation, I'm trying to think of the word for it. Yeah, self-advocating. Like, being able to advocate for yourself and, like, your personal needs. And then also just relationships. Like, I think the biggest part of, like, all of the things I do in BHS, whether it's clubs or athletics, but I think athletics, like, probably the most, is just the relationships. The relationship with your coach, like Mr. Mader was saying, that, like, I will call, like, our swim coach, Coach Miller, coach for the rest of my life. Like, I think all three of my coaches have done way more shaping of just my person than just athletics. And then the relationship we get with our, like, our community and our friends. Like, I would not probably have as many friends that, like, graduate our, like, our senior, like, when we were freshmen, like, the seniors. Like, I learned to, like, have older friends, like, through athletics. Same thing with, like, you just get to such a different type of bond, and it's just super, super important to be able to, like, grow relationships like that. I think you get that through athletics.
Kind of building off of the advocacy thing, I think also athletics, especially in high school, have taught me to listen to my body and to do what I need to do to stay healthy and continue to compete. I had a couple of injuries throughout high school, and, like, in recovering from those, I learned, like, keeping myself healthy is the most important thing, and I need to be upfront with that about my to my coaches about that. Like, hey, my knee is hurting today. I don't want to do this. I think it might make it worse. And just advocating for myself and listening to what my body is trying to tell me. And I think that's something that I will continue to use for the rest of my life, you know, just to keep myself healthy and keep being able to do the things I love to do.
Even taking a step back from sports, just being, like, clubs and stuff, being in clubs, I think is extremely important. Like, I was in student council and I was on the state board, and I made lots of connections with lots of different people, from kids to adults. I've made lots of friends, and I think just being involved in high school is my biggest takeaway, building those connections and just, like, bettering, and they do better yourself being involved. So I would just say bettering myself by being involved in clubs and sports.
Well, thank you, everybody. Very interesting conversation. We've covered a lot of ground. Mr. Mader, I have to thank you very much for making yourself available, and also Mr. Oski for a fascinating conversation. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
You as well.
Thank you.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.